Devaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam from the third canto, first chapter, text number one. Chapter is called Questions by Vidura. Sri Sukuvacha,
Sri Sukuvacha,
Evam Etat Pura Pristo,
Evam Etat Pura Pristo,
Maiteyo Bhagavan Kila,
Maiteyo Bhagavan Kila,
Kshatravanam Pravistena,
Kshatravanam Pravistena,
Jagtva Sagriyam Vridhima,
Jagtva Sagriyam Vridhima.
Sri Sukuvacha,
Sri Sukuvacha,
Sri Sukadev Goswami said,
Sri Sukadev Goswami said,
Evam,
Evam,
thus,
thus,
Eta,
Eta,
this,
this,
Pura,
Pura,
formally,
formally,
Pristaha,
Pristaha,
being asked,
being asked,
Maitreya,
Maitreya,
the great sage Maitreya,
the great sage Maitreya,
Bhagavan,
Bhagavan,
His grace,
His
grace, Kila,
Kila,
certainly,
certainly,
Kshatra,
Kshatra,
by Vidura,
by Vidura,
Vanam,
Vanam,
forest,
forest,
Pravistena,
Pravistena,
entering,
entering,
Jaktva,
Jaktva,
renouncing,
renouncing,
Swagriham,
Swagriham,
own house, Vidhima,
Vidhima,
prosperous.
Prosperous.
Translation. Sukadev Goswami said, after renouncing his prosperous home and entering the forest, King Vidura, the great devotee, asked this question of his grace, Maitreya Muni. No purport. Next verse. Yadva ayam manta kritvo bhagavan akileswara puravindra griham hitva pravivesad masakritam. Translation. What else is there to say about the residential house of the Pandavas? Sri Krishna, the Lord of everything, acted as your minister. He used to enter that house as if it were his own, and he did not take any care of Duryodhana's house. Purport. According to the Gaudiya Achincha Veda Veda Tattva philosophy, anything which satisfies the senses of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna is also Sri Krishna. For example, Sri Vrindavan Dham is non-different from Sri Krishna. Tad Dhamma Vrindavanam. Because at Vrindavan, the Lord enjoys the transcendental bliss of his internal potency. Similarly, the house of the Pandavas was also the source of transcendental bliss for the Lord. It is mentioned here that the Lord identified the house with his own self. Thus, the house of the Pandavas was as good as Vrindavan, and Vidura should not have given up that place of transcendental bliss. Therefore, the reason for his quitting the house was not exactly family misunderstanding. Rather, Vidura took the opportunity to meet Rishi Maitreya and discuss transcendental knowledge. For a saintly person like Vidura, any disturbance due to worldly affairs is insignificant. Such disturbances, however, are sometimes favorable for higher realization. And therefore, Vidura took advantage of family misunderstanding in order to meet Maitreya Rishi. Om Jnana Timanandasya Jnanandana Salakya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapanantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So externally, Vidura was in a situation where he was grossly insulted by Duryodhana. And such insults were, for a Kshatriya, certainly intolerable. Therefore, Vidura since he was had been maintained for a long time by Dhritarashtra, and because Dhritarashtra did not object to whatever his son was saying, therefore Vidura took the insult actually more as coming from Dhritarashtra. The fact that Dhritarashtra didn't say anything upset him more than the fact that Duryodhana was speaking in an insulting way. After all, he was an upstart. But we see that Vidura then placed his bow in the doorway and left the palace and left that place. However, it is also stated here that Vidura didn't really leave because he was insulted, but he had deeper reasons, transcendental reasons, which were not visible at the surface. So, such is the way of the devotee. The devotee who is actually not driven by material circumstances, but who is driven by a desire to always pursue blessings of Krishna. Somehow or other, if we can get the blessings of Krishna and the Vaishnavas, then our life is successful. Material success is insignificant. We may not have attained very much in our lives. Like myself, unlike my family lineage, I don't even owe a house. Right? Such a thing. So many generations, and now see what has happened. We have become impoverished, right, in that sense. But such things have no meaning. Such things are of no more importance than the nest of the bird, which we don't see as a very important thing. A temporary shelter for a temporary situation to fulfill temporary needs, but of no real benefit to our spiritual life. However, here the house of the Pandavas is described as not an ordinary house, because it is the house of devotees. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing the house of devotees and says, Ye dine griyate bhajana deke, griyate golokavaya. He says, that day that within a house the Lord is being worshipped, or the name of the Lord is being chanted, at that point that house becomes as good as Vrindavan, as good as the spiritual world. So such a house is an auspicious place. And certainly, even after the devotees leave such a house, the house still is purified. That is the potency of the presence of devotees. So in this case, in the house of the Pandavas, the Supreme Lord had come regularly and had stayed at length. Therefore, that place was not an ordinary place, but a place of pilgrimage. And here, even said, as good as Vrindavan. So, in that way, extraordinary. Yes, places where the Supreme Personality of Godhead has been are highly auspicious places and very important to visit. So that's also what Vidura did. For a period of 30 years, Vidura was visiting holy places. So he spent his life to become purified. And as such, time is moving along. And we see that really whatever we have done for Krishna, Krishna is all that is really meaningful. Whether we have walked the spiritual path in a perfect way or not so perfect, more in the way as Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is describing it, Durgame Patimendasya Skalat Padagatir Muhu Yat Kripa Swastidanina Santa Santavalambanam. He said, my path is very difficult. My feet are slipping again and again, but by the stick of the mercy of the Vaishnavas for my support, I can continue to progress on this path. So somehow or other, we have the good fortune of being with devotees and all that, being Srila Prabhupada's mercy. We have this process, we have this knowledge. And even if we don't follow the process very perfectly, still we have the knowledge. And by having the knowledge, how can one ever see life again from the ordinary, small, mundane perspective? So this is our great blessing, that whatever may happen, when the spiritual master has opened the eyes, the darkened eyes, with transcendental knowledge, it's not so easy to close them again. Even although some people are trying, some devotees, they sometimes feel, I wish I'd never found out about all these things, then I could just enjoy my senses like everyone else. And now, sort of, it's hard, right? Because once there's transcendental knowledge, how can you go back to just ordinary sense gratification and be satisfied? Difficult. Because all along, you'll remember, we'll remember Krishna, and we'll remember what we really should do. So, in this way, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is also commenting in Bhagavad Gita, where it is explained that a devotee, even when engaging in abominable activities, is still saintly, is still righteous. So Srila Vishwanath is commenting on that verse, and it's an interesting commentary, because in that commentary he is saying, it says that my devotee is righteous, not that he will become, he is saintly, not that he will become in the future, that he will very quickly rectify again. He'll engage in some abominable activity, but then he'll rectify again, and then he'll quickly be saintly again. No, he is saintly all along. And then Vishnu Chakravarti explains that even although he may engage in some abominable activity, deep down in his heart he actually knows what he should be doing. And therefore deep down in his heart he lives in his relationship with Krishna, and he is actually just simply embarrassed before Krishna, knowing that he should be different. So in this way he is saintly, because he lives in his relationship with Krishna. That's what was explained. So that shows the extraordinary potency, and that's the reason why I'm citing this particular passage from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on Bhagavad Gita. That the potency of devotional service is such that even if imperfectly performed, still the result is extraordinary, because one's faith will remain. One's faith is not so easily destroyed. And once faith is developed, once we accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, once we accept that devotional service to Krishna is really the ultimate goal in life, it could sometimes, due to the influence of the illusory energy, disappear into the background. But one can so easily come back to Krishna, because that original faith is there. Even if the illusory energy is so strong and one wants a little material pleasure, when it's taken away by the three modes of material nature or by the influence of time, mrityu sarva rasyachaham, ultimately as time, Krishna is taking away everything. So in that way, with time, we become more determined to take shelter of Krishna. It is stated in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna is raising the point that when the elders are not protected, that then the younger generation will surely go astray. So youth is such that some folly is there. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is saying that, he said, like, youth has some license for sense gratification. But with time, all that gradually doesn't work anymore. And thus, one's focus to take shelter of Krishna becomes stronger and stronger. So Vidura, being in that position, decided that the time for Vanaprastha had arrived. And that he had lived, at least an externally compromised life, long enough. And he was tired of that double life, of having to live this life of an externally playing a game and internally being a devotee. He was desiring to just make his life uncomplicated and to just fully dedicate himself to being a devotee. And there is no doubt that if one can do so, that the fruits are extraordinary. Therefore, renunciation is required at the end of life. Pancha chordam vanam vrajet. Not the kind of renunciation of performing rigid austerity. That's not essential. That is the phalgu vairagya. That is the type of renunciation where one tries to simply give up the fruits of activities and where the focus is on giving up. But that's not the case. The case is simply that we want to simplify our life some way or other so that we can just full time in an unobstructed way dedicate all our time to Krishna so that we can become absorbed. When it is described, the nine symptoms of bhava are described by Srila Rupa Goswami, then one of them is avyarta kalatvam, not to waste a moment. That every moment, every single moment must be dedicated to Krishna. And sooner or later, we want to come to that stage of life. No more time spent with the material energy for maintenance or for expanding material facility, for getting a bigger house or this or that. So many arrangements now. Simplify. And kechit kevalai bhaktya vasudeva parayana. Only Krishna. Only Krishna. That is the nice part of the Vedic culture. Where, especially with age, one should become more and more absorbed. To the point where one breaks through and where Krishna becomes the top priority in life. Not only intellectually, not only knowing, yes, Krishna is the most important, but emotionally, where one actually feels Krishna is the all in all for me and anything else is just meaningless. Srila Prabhupada gave us this movement, which is a movement which has taken up the worldwide preaching mission of Krishna consciousness. And as a result, this movement is getting involved with a lot of interaction with the material energy, but then for the purpose of satisfying Krishna. And thus, we can do so many things. And it's in the verse, anashaktasya visayan, there is a discussion of the Hari Sambandha Vastu. The Hari Sambandha Vastu is referring to that particular aspect of an object which is Hari Sambandha, which is connected with Krishna. So if we can see in any object the Hari Sambandha Vastu, that aspect where we can connect it with Krishna, then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, then not only that we can use the material energy, he says we must use it. Just as not only that we can use the Brihat Mridanga, the printing press, in favor of the regular coal Mridanga. No, we must use the Brihat Mridanga. We must use the greater Mridanga for the sake of pushing on this movement. So that can sometimes create a dilemma, because we wouldn't mind a nice, peaceful Vidura lifestyle, just going from holy place to holy place and living the sadhu life. Sounds actually like a permanent vacation almost, you know. Sounds like very easy and comfy, but at least for the mind, some physical austerity maybe there in the travel, but for the mind, very nourishing and very inspiring. That is not always given to us, because ultimately we cannot just leave our transcendental family. We have some transcendental family obligations, in the sense that we have to do something for the family business, pushing it on, spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. And we see that Srila Prabhupada never retired. We see that he did not just spend his time deeply relishing. Yes, certainly he spent his time deeply relishing at night, and at the day, during the day, he would battle with so many obstacles to some or other push forward this movement. So these two sides remain in our life. The balance between our personal need to become more absorbed. In the beginning, it's good enough what you do, but over time it becomes more important who you are. It's just not enough to do the right thing. In the beginning, it's very much so, are you going to Mangal Arati or not? And it's like, so it's all the difference. If you don't go, you're in Maya. If you go, you're a devotee. But later on, it's not like that. Whether you go or not is another matter. But the essence is, what about our internal life? How much are we really attached to Krishna? And what are we investing to cultivate and deepen that attachment to Krishna? Besides moving the material energy for Krishna, always there is a need to to associate with Krishna directly through hearing and chanting. That cannot be compensated by any amount of moving the material energy for Krishna. One can run around all day and move mountains for Krishna, but if we are not hearing and chanting, then it's incomplete. Because that direct connection is always required. As Jiva Goswami writes in his Sandarbhas, that all devotional service must be preceded and followed by the chanting of the holy name, which is involving hearing and chanting. So in this way, a whole lifetime of being so passionately engaged, and now maybe some time actually, for the first time, to not run around so much, because things are arranged. Things are more or less arranged. And maybe now there is time in the Vanaprastha life. Maybe there is time to chant Hare Krishna and to actually read Srimad Bhagavatam. Maybe quickly before we go blind. Right? We might be able to still read a few letters before it's too late, before we are senile and before the brain just really got so foggy that we can barely get ourselves through a few pages physically. Now it's only the mental block that stops us from reading Bhagavatam, nothing else. It's the eternal excuse, the old habit to get passionate about something material is very strong. I'm sort of looking in the mirror in this lecture, you have to understand. Sort of, there's a mirror here in front of me, and I'm thinking about what I see in this mental mirror, and then I am speaking. So I'm not sitting on a high horse, if anyone thought, because high horses, it's too difficult to get on a high horse. The back is aching, so high horses also, let them go.
Better
keep life simple and stay on the ground. Be sober. So Vidura is that personality who embodies these qualities. Somehow or other by destiny, he is a Dasiputra, which puts him in a humble position. And he is humble, and he is truly humble. And that we also see. He could have also taken his bow and instead of putting it in the door, put an arrow on it and shoot Duryodhana and then leave, right? That's another way of going. Sometimes Kshatriyas might have done something in that way. But Vidura was humble. So not deeply affected by this insult, but rather deeply desiring to go deeper in his Krishna consciousness. So when, oh when, will that day be mine? That also that desire develops. So by hearing about Vidura, it may give us some resolve to try a little harder. And that is why when we hear this portion of Bhagavatam, we're getting purified. Okay, I think I'm starting to go around in circles. At one point in a lecture, you start to repeat yourself. That's when the lecture has to end. So I think I've come to that point. So it's time for this one to end. So any questions or comments?
Among us and many of us are afraid to read these books
oh, I'm not distant, well, I don't want to hear. I don't want to. Mm-hmm. What is the
reason for this?
Reason for it, and who must read which book? Why this book is not a. What's it called? It's forbidden. Why there is? But if we have to read, so, you know, I'm a little bit curious about these things.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, if you are going to become a Christian, become a very near a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
We associate with him, we chat, we don't know about him, but it's his feeling, his rasa.
Okay, got it. Thank you. It's interesting, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a verse quoted from the Pancha Ras Ajaya. You know, there are five chapters in the Bhagavatam which are dealing with rasa. And chapter 33, and that last verse of that chapter begins with the words Vikriditam Vrajavadubir. And it's interesting because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami quotes the verse, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is explaining that we must hear about the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis, and that it is like a medicine that will purify our hearts. And then there's the purport. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada directly contradicts Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Exactly. He just, like, exactly says the opposite. He says that, and he gives the example that there was a barber whose wife was Radha, his name was Radha, and that whenever he heard the pastimes of Radha or the name of Radha, that or the activities of Radha in Krishna, that he was thinking of his own amorous pastimes. Yeah. So, Srila Prabhupada is warning that first there must be a preliminary purification from the affliction of lust before we are qualified to enter into these intimate dealings of Madhurya Ras, which is the intimate exchanges between Radha and Krishna and the gopis, because in the beginning, when one is still afflicted by lust, one may project mundane lusty feelings upon Krishna's situation. Or by hearing about Krishna's pastimes, one may become afflicted by lusty desire. Yes. And in this way, that would be inappropriate. So, it doesn't begin with Srila Prabhupada. It begins with, also with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was quite strong in this regards about speaking about the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, or in getting absorbed. For example, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, when he was a younger man, he expressed a desire to publish the Govinda Lilamrita from Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, which is a literature which describes that transcendental reality, and it's very nice. But in the beginning of the book, it's a little intense, because there is the Nisanta Lila, or the end of the night pastime, and Radha and Krishna, it is described there, are waking up in an intimate embrace. And it's quite graphically described how they are in that embrace, not in a dressed state. And it's very difficult for them to give up each other's company, and there are different warnings to wake them up. So that portion is very intimate, and one may have to wait for a while before such intimate portions are suitable for reading. Later, the book is getting interesting. It describes more about Madhurya Ras, but not so much about the intimate interactions on the physical plane, but more about the emotional exchanges. And it also describes details about what Vrindavan looks like on the pure spiritual platform. For example, it describes Radha-kund, and it describes how Radha-kund has different kunjas from various of the sakis, and it describes what they look like, how they're maintained, when Krishna meets there. Champakalata has a golden one, and Krishna is wearing a golden dress when she goes there. So, since she's golden, and the dress is golden, and the entire kunja is golden, it looks as if she's not there. And when Radha and Krishna are seated on the throne, it looks as if Krishna is sitting alone on the throne. So, like this, we see these details that are nice. So when we are maturing in spiritual life, then maybe the time comes that we can read some of such things. That very intimate passage we may quickly read over in this stage. Because who can claim that there is no trace of lust remaining? Lust is very strong. But still, once we are more mature, then there is no harm to hear more about that spiritual reality. But that should come after years of service, not before. First years of dedicated service, and then as one is maturing, maybe such reading is all right. It's a fact that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was very, very reserved about these matters and did not kind of encourage his followers to get involved into intimate discussion. And Srila Prabhupada also was quite reserved. But on one occasion, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta called his disciples and said, we should not think that this topic of Raganuga Bhakti or of these intimate exchanges in Madhurya Ras are the property of the Sahajas. They are actually the property of our Sampradaya. And although you're not qualified, but because you're getting a little more mature in spiritual life, therefore today we'll discuss. So we can see where the roots are of the fear. So it's not that open the floodgates, right? Read the most intimate literature and read about the bite marks and read all these kind of things and just because maybe we are not fully ready for the most intimate literatures. But there are, as you said, literatures on different levels. Some get less intimate in the sense of describing physical exchange, and get more into the sentiment, like Rupa Goswami's Vidakta Madhava, Lalita Madhava. These are literatures that describe Madhurya Ras, but they don't go to the most intimate levels. So like this, it's good to... there's so much out there. But it's good to take some guidance in this matter, I think. A little reservation is appropriate. Because, you know, Haridas Thakur, he was basically only chanting Hare Krishna. It is mentioned that Haridas had association with Advaita Acharya and that he did hear from Advaita Acharya. So, something he got for sure in terms of hearing philosophy. But otherwise, he didn't spend his time reading. He spent his time chanting. And everything was revealed to him. So ultimately, through an intellectual process, we cannot approach the spiritual realm. So this kind of argumentation that, like, but if we don't read these things, we're going to miss out, is kind of, is a limited perspective, because what you're missing then is the perspective that everything will be revealed from within, ultimately. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, it was very much in that spirit, prakasante mahatmanaha, everything will be automatically revealed. And Prabhupada also, very much so. Very much so, everything will be automatically revealed. They both emphasize that very much so. Whereas others have emphasized there is a need to hear, so to consciously cultivate this higher state of consciousness. So here we face a dilemma. Now, this dilemma has also manifested itself between ISKCON and maybe some influence from Gaudiya Math. And so it even came sometimes to strong opposing views. But then it's interesting that Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jiva Dharma resolves the matter, because he describes that that at one point in Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya was there in his final pastimes, and at that time he was only in the association of a handful of devotees, not so many devotees. And somehow or other, Sarup Damodar Goswami was there, Ramananda Rai was there, Bhaknath Das was there, and also Gopal Guru Goswami was there. And then it was Sarup Damodar Goswami who instructed both Raghunath Das and Gopal Guru Goswami in Antaranga Seva. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it mentions Raghunath Das, who is instructed in Antaranga Seva. Gopal Guru Goswami not mentioned. But in Jiva Dharma, Gopal Guru is also mentioned. And it's interesting because there it mentions in Jiva Dharma that Raghunath Das received from Sarup Damodar the path of automatic revelation, whereas Gopal Guru Goswami received the path of conscious cultivation. So now we see that both the paths are there. Both are there and given in Jiva Dharma by Sarup Damodar and traced back to Sarup Damodar Goswami as the greatest authority. However, then Jiva Dharma says, but of the two, the automatic revelation is the most important. Which, you know, spiritually makes sense. Because just as, give the example of, we try to develop humility. So there's two ways to develop humility. One way to develop humility is by trying to act humble. That's the conscious cultivation approach. The other way to develop humility is by devotional service. Because anartapasamam saksat bhakti yoga madakshaje. Devotional service automatically purifies the heart from all anartas. Then humility will emerge. So that's the automatic purification from devotional service. And again, there also it is said that although conscious cultivation is important, the most important is anartapasamam saksat, the automatic revelation. So in this way, I've tried to sort of sketch a frame, you know, a frame of reference of how to deal with these kind of things and all the different, the pros and the cons of reading intimate literature.
And
Srila
Prabhupada gives some direct instructions which books we definitely should not read, because it is like when one catches something here, something there, different statements, like, because in the first hand, I mean, just his Srila Prabhupada's books are so many books,
right,
and one can read them over and over again, and
yeah,
one forgets and so on. So it's kind of, actually, there is no real need to get them if you think of all the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavatam, Krishna book, and all together, all the books that Srila Prabhupada wrote is quite a lot. It can keep I'm busy. But then sometimes he was also speaking about books by other acharyas or great spiritual personalities that
right.
he also found okay for devotees to read. But is there any clear instruction, for example, something we definitely should do?
Something is there. There's the list that he gives in the Madhya Lila, in the beginning of the Madhya Lila. He gives a whole list in the purport about all the books of the Goswamis and a whole list of Goswami literatures, and many are intimate. And he's actually emphasizing we should read these books. It's right there. The whole list is there. We should actually read these literatures. Doesn't mean that we should read them on the first day, and that we should first we should read Prabhupada's books. And not that everyone necessarily has to read all these books, but an avid reader, right, and someone who is serious in the practice of devotional service certainly can read the Goswami literature. That is our heritage, and Srila Prabhupada didn't ban the Goswami books at all, right? Not like that. He actually endorsed them, and it's in writing in the purports of Madhya Lila in the beginning. Having said that, though, Srila Prabhupada's books are obviously they are purely transcendental, and there is no doubt, they are just we can fully trust them. We do not need to read with any filters. Whereas, in the world, you have these we have information filters, right? The whole day, our information filters are always on, right? So much rubbish comes in and it's filtered out. This is rubbish, that is rubbish. It's the real thing. No, it's not. Right? Like that. We have to filter out so many things. So the nice thing about Srila Prabhupada's books is that you can just turn off the filters and take it in, and trust it 100%. And know, that like whatever I get from these books, it will just bring me to the spiritual platform. I can't say that that's necessarily the case with so many other translations of so many books. There may be some twist, there may be some slight philosophical misunderstanding, there may be a mistranslation, there may be so many elements in it, and not that in Prabhupada's books there may be also from the material platform some mistakes, right? It's like, ask the BBT, right? When the book is finally printed on the shelf, doesn't mean that there is not a single mistake in the book left, right? If book publishing was so easy. And so a mistake may creep in, even in Prabhupada's books, but that, we are just protected from that. It is because it's so clear, he's so repetitious and so authorized and so much going to the acharyas and so on. So we're very protected in these books. That level of protection we will not get by reading so many other translations and so on. Or if we even get learned and we start reading Sanskrit and Bengali ourselves, right? Even then there's still the element where Prabhupada said that my purports are more important than the verses, because the purports are giving us the proper understanding of the verses. So my last recommendation on the matter is this, is that I would say Prabhupada's books, the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Nectar of Devotion, and the Chaitanya Charitamrita were highly emphasized by Srila Prabhupada. He had them read out at the time of initiation at four brahmanas sitting on the corner, right, reading them. So that's like a big thing, You're not only initiated in 16 rounds, you're initiated in these four books. These are the pillars, that are on the corner. So these four books are undoubtedly the pillars. So I would say These four books, I compare them to rice, dal, sabji, and chapati. And the other books, I compare them to chutney. Right? So if you eat only chutney, what will happen? You decide. So some staple diet of rice, dal, sabji, and chapati to keep us in good health is recommended, I think. And some chutney, you know, we need some chutney.
Could you repeat this for again?
It is Bhagavad Gita, it is Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are some other books that are offshoots of these books. Like, you know, Nectar of Instruction is very parallel to the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And it's like it's in sutra form, very short, yeah, basically. Very similar. Very similar. So like that, different books are relating to these main books. Anyway, that's my 5 cents worth. Tapas.
How do you understand that your problem says that there's no difference between the pastimes creation and the pastimes Vrindavan? It sometimes says like that.
Yes, there is no difference. But there's also difference. It's achintya bheda bheda tattva. Everything about Krishna is transcendental. Krishna in Kurukshetra is also transcendental. Krishna in Vrindavan is transcendental. Still, the pastimes in Vrindavan are also including certain dealings and so on that that are not immediately revealed in other places. So, in that way it's different, but it's also equally transcendental. And I like it that Prabhupada called the deities in Delhi Sisi Radha Partasarati, and that in his time the question was raised. The question, Radha Partasarati, but isn't Partasarati the chariot driver of Arjuna? How come Radha? Isn't that Rasavas? That question was raised. And later that question was also came up again. But it was interesting to see the question was raised in Prabhupada's time, and that Prabhupada's answer to the question was, yes, Radha Partasarati. Because wherever Krishna is, Radharani is always with him, even in Kurukshetra. Whew. Prabhupada is the most Rasika Acharya after all, just see. He even sees Radharani in Kurukshetra. What do you think about that? Shall we stop? No.
A comment to the books. The first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada comments that a serious student would do well to go through all the different commentaries and books.
Yes.
By different acharyas.
Yes.
And he specifically mentions the acharyas in the past 500 years.
Yes. We know very well which acharyas, and we can specify that more, obviously, you know.
But he also mentions Vallabhacharya.
Yeah, that's okay, but we also know how to read Vallabhacharya. We know how to, that we have to read Vallabhacharya through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and through the writings of Rupa Goswami, but we do know that Balava ultimately also is a Vaishnava, and as such it's a bona fide, it's a Vaishnava commentary and can be accepted. But we also understand the, that's why such things are said by Srila Prabhupada, but we should not read them like a lawyer reads it and isolate the statement and then put it in a frame around the wall and just start reading without discrimination. We should first learn to discriminate. And we should also see how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Mayapur installed Gandharvika Giridhari and then placed the four acharyas around, heading up these sampradayas, around the deity with the concept that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sampradaya is the metta sampradaya. So a metta sampradaya means the umbrella sampradaya that will absorb all these other sampradayas. So one must see these things also in context. Yeah. And we are reading the commentaries of all the Vaishnava Acharyas, and we're studying them, and we have them now. There's a nice site, BhagavadGita.org, if you looked at it. You can look at it, all the Acharyas. It's a site, Bhagavad Gita is given, and then the commentaries of the Acharyas on each verse are given. You know, like Ramanuja Acharya, or the Sampradaya Acharyas. Then you have additionally Baladeva Vijayabhusan's, Baladeva Vijayabhusan and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, so we can get a whole range there. Sridhar Swami is there, Ramanuja Acharya is there, and like that you can check it out. Vishnu Swami is there. So, check him out. But for now, stay with the Bhagavad Gita and study that first properly. And then carry on. But not Sankaracharyas, because now people give you on a memory stick or whatever electronic means, they give you like a library as big as the universe, and then you look at Bhagavad Gita commentaries and suddenly Sankara is also there. I deleted that one. Because Mayavadi Basya Sunile Hoi Sarvanasa. I'm not going to read it. And you should read it either. But Baladeva Vijayabhusan read it. And he defeated it. That's good enough. Like that. Have discrimination. So guidance is still helpful. Of someone who is more expert. Okay, that's enough before breakfast. Thank you very much.